When I grew up on the farm, fly was something we sprayed to kill, and jam was something we put on our breakfast toast.
Jam. Fly jam. Fly Jams Friday.
Oh, yeah. This is Fly Jam Friday on your overnight radio with my man, Nick D, on 720 WGN.
Yeah. Fly Jams Friday. Get your requests in now. 312-981-7200 every Friday morning. We celebrate the great R&B classics of all time from any time period, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, now. 312-981-7200. Dan has become DJ Shagru. Esmeralda is now the Heart Melda. Vic is Viggity Viggity in it. And I'm Wiki Wiki. Evidently, Dan, we've had some people asking exactly what Fly Jams, what that term is and where it came from.
That is correct. Multiple requests in the last couple
of weeks. All right. We will explain. I guess some people are kind of new to the segment, so we'll explain exactly what Fly Jams means on Fly Jams Friday. Yeah. Got a meeting in the ladies' room. Yeah. Fly Jams Friday. My first request this morning is Climax. K-L-Y-M-A-X-X, baby. Climax. And they're having a meeting in the ladies' room. DJ Shagru, you ever hear Meeting in the Ladies' Room by Climax?
No, I can't say that I have.
Classic. And the video is pretty spectacular.
Are they in a ladies' room?
They are indeed in a ladies' room. And you know who's in the video, by the way?
Who's that?
Dan, DJ Shagru, did you notice who was in the video?
I was not paying attention.
Boogaloo Shrimp and Shabadoo.
Oh, nice.
You know, what's the second one called?
Boogaloo Shrimp? Shabadoo?
No, the movie.
Oh, Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah, that was on a couple days ago.
It was?
At like 7 in the morning on this.
On this?
Yeah.
You know, they show great movies on this. They really do, man. You never know what's popping up on that channel.
Yeah, I almost stayed up to watch it.
Oh, that's a... Man. You know, they released that movie... Well, you saw the Canon documentary, right?
Yes.
They released that movie like 4 months after the first one. They went into production on that movie like right after the first weekend of Breakin'. When Breakin' made money, they would get... Golden and Globes was like, get another one on production right now. Don't worry about the damn script. Just get Boogaloo Shrimp and have them dance. We'll release it in 4 months. Yeah, Climax. All right, well, let's explain Fly Jams, Dan, shall we?
Yes.
Now, the term fly, you know, when you say something is fly, that means good. That means cool. All right? In the street vernacular. Man, that is fly. Now, a jam is a song. So a fly jam is a good song. And now Fly Jams with a Z, that's because it's fly and you have to have a Z. Now, that's essentially what it is. But the term Fly Jams came from an album that I purchased that I guess we've discovered, Dan, is no longer in print.
Actually, I think you can purchase it on Amazon, a used copy or two.
Oh, you can. Because it's called Fly Jams with a Z, and it's two discs. And I purchased it like in the late 90s or something, or early 2000s. And it's two discs, all Fly Jams. And they're all from that era where a lot of people would say the words Fly Jams. And that was late 80s, early 90s. That's like the peak, that's the height of the term Fly Jams with a Z. So this album, Dan, can you find the track listing? We can fly down the track listing real quick. Esmeralda, are you aware of this CD?
Just from you.
Because I would recommend, because it's an unbelievable, like if you look at the track listing on this thing, it's two discs called Fly Jam, the Fly Jams Collection. And somebody stole it from the Factory Theater. I brought it in, I remember this, we were building the set for Toast of the Town in 2005. No, somebody stole one of the discs. I couldn't find the other one, so I think somebody stole it because I brought it in while we were building, and we didn't get anything done. We were trying to build the set, And, like, every song that came on, people just stopped and started boogieing. You know, instead of hammering nails and sawing and building sets, like, a, you know, a song would come on and everybody would be like, well, I can't. I must dance. It's phenomenal. Phenomenal. The track listing on this thing. Did you find?
Is it the one with the lady on it?
And I can't remember what's on the cover.
It is the lady on it. And unfortunately, there is no track listing.
What?
I mean, whoever is selling it used did not take the time.
Why, that's just ridiculous. Are they just assuming that the people are going to buy it without knowing what fly jams are on it? There might not be any fly jams. There could just be jams.
It's a surprise.
Well, I will say this. If it's the same collection that I had, and I'm assuming it is, buy it. If you're on Amazon, don't worry about no track listings because it's phenomenal.
In the description, they do note a couple of the tracks. Motown Philly, What About Your Friends, Poison, Do You Want Me, Live and Learn, Warm It Up, and many more.
Yeah, and many more, and they're all fly. So that's what a fly jam is for people who don't know. And then on Fridays, we celebrate the world of fly jams. Like this. Yeah. Backstroking. From the 773 area code requested that, and that's by the Fatback Band. The Fatback Band. That's a great name for a fly jam band. Yeah, man, I'm in the Fatback Band. Okay. 630 area code requests this. What trailer? Rare Earth, Esmeralda, you know a little piece of trivia about Rare Earth?
What's that?
The first white artists ever signed to Motown.
Huh.
Yep. Rare Earth. And they were funky and they were great. Rare Earth, baby. All right, we got to take a break here. We got the news coming up and then more fly jams. Get in with your requests now. It's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Fly Jam Friday continues. Fly Jams Friday. The late Rick James and the late Tina Marie. Fire and Desire. You know, if I remember correctly, that song is like 8 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And the first 3 minutes is Rick James just going, "Hey, baby, I like the way you look. The first time we met, I loved you." Isn't it something like that, Dan? Like the first, it's just Rick James talking for like 3 minutes. Yeah, baby.
So Tina Marie has no say?
She comes in a little bit later, but just keeps talking. Yeah, baby.
Got a monologue.
Just goes on.
I guess life must be treating you well. Oh, me? Well, I've just been doing the same old thing I've always been doing, you know?
It's quite a reading.
DJ Shagru getting all sexy and funky. Yeah. Let me love you down. All right. We have people calling in for Fly Jams.
Oh, good.
Fly Jam Friday. And it's Fly Jam Bob. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
You know, last week I played a cover of a Wilson Pickett song, so this week I thought I'd play Wilson Pickett's cover of a pretty famous song. And a while back you were asking if any of the later Beatles songs were fly jams. Well, I think Wilson must have thought this one was fly enough to cover.
All right.
Here's Hey Jude.
Yeah. That version kicks ass, Bob.
Wow.
Yes, it does. If we could have heard the whole guitar solo, yeah, you would have heard Eric Clapton's favorite guitar solo performed by Duane Allman.
Duane Allman playing the guitar solo there.
Yeah, you know, that's the second one. A couple of years ago, I played Arthur Conley doing Obladi Oblada, and
yeah,
Duane Allman did a solo at the end of that one,
yeah,
as well. He must have liked the... searching out different fly covers to play on.
I must have, yeah. And a lot of Beatles songs have been fly covered, like the Earth, Wind, and Fire did "Got to Get You Into My Life."
Yes, definitely.
And a lot of Beatles fly. That's fly. That was definitely fly, Bob.
Hey, you know, you were speaking about Disco Demolition earlier this
yeah
week.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't there, but I do remember watching it on TV and. My memories are watching the idiots climb up the wall and try to get into the old openings in the walls in
yep
Comiskey Park and
yep
sliding down and
the flat.
I always remember when I think of it, I always remember Harry saying, "I don't think these people are baseball fans."
No, yeah, I don't see. I was there, so I didn't get to hear Harry.
Yes, I know
Harry's call. I don't think these people are baseball fans.
That's exactly right.
Oh boy. So, all right, Bob, thanks.
Take care, Nick.
Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.
I don't think these people are baseball fans. Do you know my favorite Harry Carey?
Impersonation?
No.
What?
I'm by the way, I was just doing Harry Carey, in case you didn't.
Well, that first one.
Yeah.
The second one.
No, that was Harry.
Was it? Okay.
It was supposed to be.
All right.
But anyway, you know my favorite Harry Carey exchange of all time?
What's that?
Steve Stone. Was his partner in the booth for many years during his days with the Cubs. And one day, he's in the booth and he goes, "Hey, Steve, you know, we got a group here from Kent State. You went to Kent State, didn't you?" And Steve goes, "Yes, I did, Harry." And then Harry goes, "And they didn't shoot you?"
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, God.
Oh,
and then, like,
Harry.
There's this pause, you know, in the booth. What is Steve Stone supposed to say? And so Steve goes, Harry, they didn't.
Oh, my God.
They didn't shoot you.
Wow.
It's Harry, man. Oh, man. All right. Here we go. 708 area code requested this one. Wondering if you ever want to show such a great song, man. Billy Stewart, such a great song. Sitting in the park, man. Just sitting in the park waiting. Here's Pete on WGN. Hi, Pete.
Hang on. Good morning.
Are you there, Pete?
I am.
Okay, go ahead. What do you got?
Oh, Got to Give It Up by Marvin Gaye.
Oh, let's hear it, DJ Shagrew. guy, Pete. Can't go wrong with Marvin Gaye. I love the fact that it's made. It's they recorded it like it was in the middle of a party. Because you can hear, there's people like talking and background.
I mean, it kind of makes me want to play. It should play every Friday in the hallways.
While we're on, you mean, yeah.
Just, you know, and people walking down and they see people, they go, hey.
Like all day, they're like, yeah, two more hours till happy.
Yeah.
You know.
Everyone has solo cups. They can just have water in them.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
But you got to have a solo cup. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. That song, by the way, has been sampled.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They
Good God.
Didn't Marvin Gaye's family win over?
I think so. Yeah.
Over what's his?
Who was who?
Growing... Robin Thicke, Pharrell, and T.I.
Yeah.
Did you wait? And who?
T.I.
Okay.
T.I.
Sure.
T.I. rules.
Well, yeah, I know of T.I. I didn't know of T.I.
T.I.
Isn't that what Tiny calls him?
I don't know what's going on right now.
Proper pronunciations of Tiny.
Who? Tiny who?
Tiny's his wife. Her name's. It's her nickname.
They have a reality show on VH1.
You would know her. I forget what. She was in a girl group.
She was?
Yeah, back in the 90s. I forget what it is, though.
Oh. Oh. Tony and Elmhurst. Here's an interesting request. DJ Shagru, don't you find this to be an interesting request? Tony and Elmhurst said he wanted to hear the theme from Night Court.
I mean, that is a jam.
Wow. The Fly Jam, man. What the Larroquette is was for me the best thing on that show. Larroquette was hilarious on that show.
Not the big bald dude. Not
Richard Mull? Yeah. What was his name?
Bull,
that's right. Bull,
yeah.
And Marcia Warfield was on the show?
No, it was a Marcy Post.
Marky Post. No, but I'm talking about she was like a.
Was she the other guard?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you.
She, but they were two of them because one of them passed away, if I remember correctly. And then, of course, Harry Anderson.
Yes.
He was the star because you know how he got that show? Because all of his appearances on Cheers. You remember him on Cheers?
No.
He was Harry he was a swindler, con man.
Okay, for a second I was like, could you call it a spinoff? But no.
Well, I mean,
no, because
but you know what? In the show, in Night Court, he used to be a con man, and then he became a judge.
So maybe.
Time warp spinoff.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess he did some time, and then he learned how to be a judge.
I didn't know that they
But he was a con man. He was a con man. That's like Kaz, one of the greatest shows of all time. With the greatest actor of all time, Ron Liebman. He played a car thief, and he was a thief, and he went to jail. And while he was in jail, he studied the law, and he came out was a lawyer.
All right,
Kaz.
That one I believe.
You should see Kaz. That was a magnificent 70s program with Ron Liebman. Just so I'll remind you, Ron Liebman was Jennifer Aniston's father on the show I created.
Right. You picked him special.
That's the only reason that I got involved with Friends.
You're like, I said, Rob Liebman or nothing.
That's right. If I'm going to put this crap on TV, at least allow me, as the creator, to put Ron Liebman in it at some point.
He was originally Chandler, and everybody's like, he's too old to play Chandler.
Yeah, it wasn't working.
He's gotta play Dad.
In fact, I had him playing all three of the male characters.
Would you have to run?
Like, yeah, and we used optical tricks. It just, you know. Became too tiresome for him. He had to play three different characters and sometimes in the same scene.
A lot of movie magic.
That's right, man. Well, when Ron Liebman is involved, you make magic. You might also remember him from Garden State. Played the doctor in Did you not see Garden State?
I saw it once.
Oh, I was going to say, because, you know, you're in your 30s. You should have seen that movie 500 times already.
I wasn't that into it. It was good, but I watched it once.
I think it's pretty great. I'm a big fan. Yeah.
It was okay.
It was funny. That was one of the years. We're going to break here for weather and traffic, and then we'll come back for more Fly Jams. But that was the year that that I realized the difference between the age difference between me and Eric Childress.
Mm.
Eric is 10 years and 1 week younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly 1 week. His birthday is 1 week before mine. So, but when that came to, when we both realized there was like a sort of a generational difference, was the year that Garden State came out. It was his number one movie, and he said he identified with it so much. Like, it was his movie. It was like this generation thing. He identified with it. It meant a lot, and it grabbed him emotionally. My number one movie that year was Sideways, and I said I identified with that one more than anything. And then that was when I went, yeah, I'm a middle-aged dude. I am a middle-aged dude. And he's, you know, he's identified with Garden State. I'm identified with Sideways. And Sideways, by the way, the character that I've told you this before, the character that Paul Giamatti plays,
mm-hmm.
no other character ever in any movie that I've ever seen I've more identified with than that guy. I am not kidding you. I would never steal from my mom. That's the only difference. Other mm-hmm. than that, everything that he says, thinks, and does, I identify with 100%. That's not necessarily a good thing. But, yeah. Anyway, all right. I'm old. Yeah. Nick the Giant here. This is a band called Starpoint.
Oh, wow, okay.
And we're going to put the video. Dan's going to put the video up on our. It's up.
Mm-hmm.
You have to see this video.
Okay.
It is the quintessential. Dan, come on. Is it not one of the most ridiculous like 80s videos you've ever seen?
I don't know what I love more, the shoulder pads or the keytar.
Wait, do you see the keytar?
I love a good keytar.
It also has like a behind the scenes at the beginning of Starpoint backstage getting ready for their magnificent stage show.
Do they all look like Jem?
Well, it's there's guys in the band too. Oh,
okay.
So it's not just it's a, you know, there's a guy on key.
Are they all wearing
keytar,
you know, day glow?
Dude, you got to see this. I'm telling you got to see this. It is. It's on our Facebook page. That's Starpoint with Object of My Desire. All right, let's go to the phones. Here is Dave on WGN. Hi, Dave.
Greetings and salutations.
Hey.
Yeah, my fly gem is White and Nerdy by Weird Al Yankovic.
Never get enough of this.
Fluent in JavaScript as well as Klingon. RSA.
Roll on my segue. I know in my heart they think I'm white.
Thank you, Dave. I have my my action figure, my that you gave me for my birthday, my Weird Al action figure. It's right on my desk in front of my poster of Magnolia.
Do you talk to him?
I do. I don't have a pet. When I came home from the secret lives of pets, I was like, "Hi, Al. I don't have a pet."
He comes to life.
And yeah, he does. He does.
His little accordion solos.
Here's Jasmine on WGN. Hi, Jasmine.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm guessing this request is was probably in the disco demolition thing. Staying Alive by the Bee Gees.
Here we go. Yeah. You know, Jasmine, it was at Disco Demolition because I personally brought the soundtrack to Saturday Night Fever to get in.
I had a quick question, by the way.
Yeah.
Since you said that you secretly like disco stuff, did you ever have those pants where the bottoms look like giant triangles?
Well, you're talking about bell bottoms.
Yeah, what my grandmother
Bell-bottoms, my grandmother called them. What my grandmother called them. Great. Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, that wasn't exclusively disco, Jasmine. Everybody wore bell-bottoms. Everybody at some point in the 70s, everybody wore bell-bottoms.
That decade sounds cool.
It, it was, Jasmine. You got to believe me. All right, thanks.
Bye.
You know, that's Stayin' Alive was also featured. I got to hear it this week because it's an airplane. There's a scene in Airplane where they dance to...
it's a good song.
It's a great song.
Now, wait, when you had to give up your record, were you really sad about it?
It was my parents.
So you had one at home? Do you have another copy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Moments after he says he would never steal from his mother.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get. But no, but there was another one at home, though.
Oh, okay. So you would have been.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. But anyway, no, I wouldn't steal from my mom, especially with the way that Paul Giamatti does it in the movie. It's so despicable. It really is.
You could have. Have you taken seen your Sideways? Copy, you know.
Have you seen Sideways?
A while ago.
It's so good. Oh my God! All right, here's Roosevelt on WGN. Hey, Roosevelt.
Good morning, guys. How you doing this morning?
What do you got?
I got Chicago's own Tyrone Davis. Can I change my mind?
Here we go. I would like to start all over again. Baby, can I change my mind? I just wanna change my mind. It's a great song. Great choice, Roosevelt. Have a good weekend, buddy.
Thank you. You too, guys.
All right, man. Yeah, Tyrone. Tyrone Davis. Yeah, see, you know, when the whole disco thing,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't let my friends know because I hung out with pot-headed, you know, Zeppelin fanatics.
Right.
So I couldn't let them know that secretly, you know.
How would you buy the albums?
I didn't, really. I didn't.
I imagine you putting, like you're putting them in Sabbath.
Yeah, I would put Black Sabbath covers. Yeah,
Sabbath.
Yeah, I don't listen to that crap. Well, here's the thing: you really in the 70s, you didn't really have to buy any disco records.
Mm-hmm.
All you had to do was turn on the radio. It was just everywhere.
And so you were secretly listening,
yeah.
In your room.
Yeah, I mean, but I prefer. I mean, obviously, I preferred, you know, Sabbath and Zeppelin and all that stuff, but I just couldn't let my friends in on the secret that
did
I...
Did it pain you when you had to make fun of disco around your friends?
Like, disco sucks, man!
So dumb,
then I go home,
right?
You can ring my bell. You know.
Did you dance, too?
Yeah. Oh, man, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Then I'd, let me love you down. No, that was years later. That was the 80s. By that point, I had fully admitted I didn't...
Yeah. Well, yeah, you were. It's okay to be out.
You know, when I posted on my Facebook, it was okay. I came out at that point. Came out of my disco closet. I posted on my Facebook page earlier in the week that I was at Disco Demolition. Mm-hmm. I posted the thing. And one of my dear friends, Mitchell Fain, who was just a lovely, lovely man, who I've acted with and stuff, and I've had him on the show, he is gay, and he was mad at me. He put the post up. How dare you, you know, and you know, like, how dare you go to that stupid thing? And, you know, and, like, he regards, like many people do, he regards that event and that movement as anti-gay,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and racist. And I can totally understand where he's coming from. It wasn't on my end, and I don't think it was on Steve Dahl's end. Unfortunately, there was a real ugliness to that movement.
Right.
There really was. So I had to send a message to Mitchell and say, Mitchell,
aww.
I'm really sorry. Don't be mad. Because Mitchell was like, when we were doing a show called Bitches, it was in drag. And there were six straight guys, six gay guys, and one guy who was so far in the closet, he was in Narnia. So we would go, one week we'd go to, like one night after the show, we'd go to a gay bar. And the next night we'd go to a straight bar. And every time we went to a gay bar, Mitchell was my boyfriend. He would be, I'm with you. Don't worry about anything. So, I love Mitchell. Okay. Hi. Have a great weekend. And you're off on Monday morning.
Yes.
So we'll see you Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
Have a great time at Pitchfork.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take a break and be back after this on WGN.